21. That was the sequence of events as it presents itself with the clarity and certainty of hindsight today. At the time, while I experienced them, it was not possible to gauge their significance. I felt, intensely, the choking, nauseous character of it all, but I was unable to grasp its constituent parts and place them in an overall order. Each attempt was frustrated and veiled by those endless, useless, vain discussions in which we attempted again and again to fit the events into an obsolete, unsuitable scheme of political ideas. How eerie these discussions now seem, when an accident of memory throws up a scrap of one of them. In spite of all our historical and cultural education, how completely helpless we were to deal with something that just did not feature in anything we had learned. How meaningless our explanations, how infinitely stupid the attempts at justification, how hopelessly superficial the jury-rigged constructions with which the intellect tried to cover up the proper feeling of dread and disgust, how stale all the isms we brought up. I shudder to think of it. Daily life also made it difficult to see the situation clearly. Life went on as before, though it had now definitely become ghostly and unreal, and was daily mocked by the events that served as its background. I still went to the Kammergericht. The law was still practiced there, as though it still meant something, and the Jewish judge still presided in his robes, quite unmolested. However, his colleagues now treated him with a certain tactful delicacy, like one does somebody suffering from a serious disease. I still phoned my girlfriend, Charlie. We went to the cinema, had a meal in a small wine bar, drank Chianti, and went dancing together. I still saw my friends, had discussions with acquaintances. Family birthdays were still celebrated as they always had been, but while in February we could still question whether all this did not represent a triumph of indestructible reality over the Nazis' carryings on, now it was no longer possible to deny that daily life itself had become hollow and mechanical. Every minute merely confirmed the victory of the enemy forces flooding in from all sides. Strangely enough, it was just this automatic continuation of ordinary life that hindered any lively, forceful reaction against the horror. I have described how the treachery and cowardice of the leaders of the opposition prevented their organizations from being used against the Nazis or offering any resistance. That still leaves the question why no individuals ever spontaneously opposed some particular injustice or iniquity they experienced, even if they did not act against the whole. I am not blind to the fact that this charge applies to me as much as to anyone else. It was hindered by the mechanical continuation of normal daily life. How different history would be if men were still independent, standing on their own 2 feet as in ancient Athens. Today they are yoked to the details of their work and daily timetable, dependent on 1,000 little details, cogs in a mechanism they do not control, running steadily on rails and helpless if they become derailed. Only the daily routine provides security and continuity. Just beyond lies a dark jungle. Every European of the 20th century feels this in his bones and fears it. It is the cause of his reluctance to do anything that could derail his life, something audacious or out of the ordinary. It is this lack of self-reliance that opens the possibility of immense catastrophes of civilization, such as the rule of the Nazis in Germany. Yes, I roared and raged during that March of 1933. Yes, I frightened my parents with wild proposals. I would leave the law courts. I would emigrate and demonstratively convert to Judaism. But it went no further than the expression of these intentions. Though it was not really relevant to current events, my father's immense experience of the period from 1870 to 1933 was deployed to calm me down and sober me up. He treated my heated emotions with gentle irony. I must admit that calm skepticism has always had a stronger influence on me than emotionally proclaimed conviction. It took me quite a while to realize that my youthful excitability was right and my father's wealth of experience was wrong, that there were things that cannot be dealt with by calm skepticism. I lacked the self-confidence to draw active conclusions from my feelings. Perhaps, after all, I was exaggerating events. Perhaps it was best to hold steady and let things pass over me. The only place where I felt confident and sure of myself was at the courts, where I was protected by the paragraphs of the civil code and legal procedure. Though for the moment the activities of the courts seemed to lack meaning, nothing had changed there. Maybe they would turn out to be durable and strong. In this way, unsure of myself, temporizing, I performed my routine daily duties. At home I gave way to fruitless and ridiculous outbursts at the dinner table. Excluded from events and passive like millions of others, I let events come at me. And they did.